tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Woo! Yeah, let the buzz begin. We are back with another episode of Into the Badlands. Cue the theme song. welcome. Another great episode. Sorry we're a few days late. This is our new airtime, so please write that down. Tuesdays, if you guys are watching us live. Otherwise, just check out the iTunes, SoundCloud. Just Google AfterBuzz. You'll find wherever is most convenient for you. I'm your host, JB Zimmerman. Joining us is, on the panel right here...
Hey guys, I'm Maria Cavasuto, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at MGCVSST.
Nice. Alexis is also here. She's just in the booth, multitasking.
Hey, yes, I am multitasking. But hey guys, you can find me all over social media as atorres890, and I'm so excited to talk about this episode because it's so good.
I know, it is so good.
Really
amazing.
It is so good.
Right off the bat, we get right into the action. Love it. Love the premiere episode, obviously. It's kind of had a lot of story to set up, but now that we're in the season, you know, they can do a lot more fun things like opening with many knives being thrown into people's chests, which they did.
You know, I just love that this show literally, I don't think we had that slow build up as we have on other shows. We just kind of went right into it. There's like a bunch of action going on, and you really no slow moments, which I absolutely appreciate.
Yeah, it was kind of nice. I mean, it feels like it's, you know, pieces of a movie that we're just watching in, you know, weekly installments where it picked up exactly where we left off. You know, we knew who the characters were. All of a sudden, the widow walks in and, you know, even though we had some new people, we knew what was going on. There didn't need to be this whole, like, read a synopsis or what have you. We just flow right into that fight scene. I mean, I'm not really sure what the whole relationship with Teague, the widow's former regent, was, but obviously it was tumultuous. He left for some reason. We also got some background story on the widow. Her name is Minerva.
That is right. Also something that she's totally left behind because she's like, I'm no longer that person anymore. So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it seems very out of character to who she is now. And I think that might be reason why she's sort of buried that in the past, because she does not look like a Minerva. I would not expect a Minerva to murder so many people so quickly.
Yeah, I think the widow is a much more suiting name for her.
I think it's like murder, Minerva.
Interesting.
Kind of alliteration type
kind
stuff.
I just think the one thing I wanted to like talk about, which we didn't get to talk about on the first episode, was the fact that I love how she's literally in all black and just her hair is red. Like a black widow.
Well, yes,
they play with color.
I love that. That's so cool. But yeah, no, murderer Minerva is how
The murderer.
There you go. There's a lot going
yeah,
on.
No, she is. I mean, I don't know if you guys talked about this very much, but yeah, the red hair being very vibrant.
Just the blood is so vibrant on this show, so it just kind of like plays
There's
up
so
with her
much
hair.
Blood splatter.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I mean, I love that though. I mean, it's done in, I think, the perfect amount, where it is very graphic, it's very explosive, but it's not comical. It's still, like, just shy of being unrealistic. So, you know, you're never in too much of the fantasy where it feels like these aren't human beings.
But you know what? I actually, as I was watching this show, I'm thinking, like, I'm having kind of, like, deja vu with Kill Bill. Anyone?
Yeah. I mean, it's similar. So definitely,
I agree
with the
so
with,
much
with the swords and the kung fu and the slicing of limbs,
yeah,
for sure.
It's kind of
so
obvious, but well, I mean, I felt like I was like, oh, of course,
yeah.
But it totally does, and but respectable in the same way.
Right.
That Kill
I mean,
Bill
yeah, I definitely liked Kill Bill. I feel like it's like one hair below that, where it's like not, you know, a continuous fountain of blood that like sprays.
that's totally.
I mean, I love blood spray. Believe me, I bring on the blood spray.
So, did you enjoy when they hacked off that arm at one point and like the blood was just like
and just like splattering out? Yeah, I did. I did, but like it wasn't too much. Like it did that for a second, and then we went on to more killing and stabbing. Specifically one move where the widow like stabs the guy in the foot and then like continuously up the entire dude's body was very cool. So the props to the whole stunt team. Well done. Keep it up.
Good stuff.
I'm definitely a fan of all that.
Also with the shoe. The shoe was like, I feel like that was the most killer, like badass move that she could have possibly had. Really, because that
the
just
fact
like
she was killing people with her heels.
Yeah,
like holy
yeah
crap.
That says like female, like I don't know, femme fatale. Really, so I loved that little piece of it.
No, that's a good point. I mean, I think that they extend that to the whole episode. I mean, even the series itself by having one Baron be, or at least one being a woman, and sort of her entire crew is full of women. I mean, MK even mentions that he didn't even see any guys at all, like, on the entire farm, even when she mentions that she had sons.
Which, like, I wonder what happened with that son, because she doesn't really make any other mention.
Yeah, she glosses over it very suspiciously. Alexis, what do you think about that?
I was thinking that maybe because, I don't know, maybe she doesn't want her son because that's the only way that she can have an heir, technically. Because technically when
ooh,
she gets married off,
right,
she changes her name, technically. So if she has a son, maybe she's put them in hiding or maybe put them in a different area with a different baron or something of that
interesting
nature.
Interesting.
Because I feel like she's just trying to protect her own.
Right. That's actually a really good point, because I remember from the first episode, the baron, Quinn, was talking to his wife about how kind of disappointed he was in his own son and that he wasn't strong enough to take the throne. You know, he even wishes that he would kind of dethrone him and stage a coup. Because this whole world is very cutthroat, very for yourself.
Literally.
Yeah,
yes,
literally.
Literally.
But it's so funny because, like, I feel like her daughters are very, very strong. So
right.
I don't even – I mean, I guess in like a classical, like, oh, male are, you know, males are heirs or whatever to the throne would be the right way. But I guess like her females could totally, her daughters could,
yeah,
you know.
I completely agree with you because that's what I was going through. But technically they can have more daughters that would be technically under her name. That's why she could do that. But
right.
I know what you mean. It's kind of like, oh, well, why would it be that way? I don't know.
Yeah, there might be some more information where the like the next in line to the throne wouldn't be the daughter. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious to see how that fleshes out about the political hierarchies of baronism, if you will.
Now that you say that, in terms of the hierarchy, it definitely seems like there's a couple sisters, right? And
mm-hmm.
even just the widow kind of mentions it, like, oh, I know one of your sisters would gladly do it. And she's like, no, it's my responsibility,
right,
kind of thing. I feel like there's such an interesting power play among the families that we've seen so far. Just kind of vying for power, vying for attention, and always wanting to be close to, like, the baron and having their respect, kind of. Because they're nasty. Those barons are nasty.
They are. And, yeah, I wonder how many there are. I mean, we learn that Quinn is the most powerful of all the barons and has the biggest clipper force. But sort of like how did that come to be? I mean, he reveals in his own sort of backstory how he kind of got his start. We don't necessarily know much after that, but he started as sort of a no-name. His parents were or his dad at least was a poppy, like, picker, I guess, farmer.
Yeah.
And when he got killed, that's sort of when Quinn went in to be a clipper and started as a cult.
Based off of just the simple information that he gives off and just kind of how this world works, I really think that it's kind of like you kill – what is it? You keep what you kill? Is that like
yes
the phrase? So, I mean, the widow's trying to get rid of Quinn and she's like, oh, you know, you guys – somebody else will be able to take this territory. So I feel like Quinn did the same thing with whoever his baron was and he kept – what he killed, if that's, you know, right. what ended up happening. But that's what I assume happened.
Well, yeah, it's a very feudal world going on where there's a lot of killing and backstabbing and stealing and taking. And you know, it seems like it, whoever conquers who can kind of have the lay of the land, even when the widow is making a deal with the nomads. I can only assume as nomads they wouldn't have a plot of land to be a baron.
Yeah,
but correct. She offers to give them one. So that was very interesting that even – I assume if she takes Quinn's land that maybe she has more to relinquish to the nomads.
I thought she would be taking her – she would keep her post and then have one of them take Quinn's right. land. But she would be like kind of the authority in the region.
Right.
And I think there's like seven barons. So we don't really know what everyone does other than poppy farmers per right. se and then oil for the widow. So it would be interesting to see what other kind of industries are in the Badlands.
Exactly. I wish we had like a map like in Game of Thrones where it just like flies over and shows everywhere.
Because
there's
here's
a lot
this.
Going on. There's a lot of families here. Mm-hmm. A lot of I mean, what would you call them? Like sects or like groups, factions?
I don't know. Factions? I feel like factions would be probably the best word.
Which
that
is
I would
so
think
funny
of.
Because I'm thinking of, what is it, Divergent that has factions?
That's Divergent.
So I was like, I don't know if we can do yeah, that.
Is it trademarked?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I have no idea. I'm trying to figure out, I know this might be like a really dumb question or thought, but I don't understand what year we're in. Because the fact that they're using words that we haven't used in a while, they're right. obviously their technology is different because we don't have the internet and things like that.
But so. We do have cars.
We do. Yeah, we do have motorcycles. Like, motorcycles and horses at the same
time.
I'm
very confused.
Always yeah. funny to see that in the same scene. I saw the two horses with Sonny and Ryder, and then you see the car, and I'm like, interesting.
Yeah, it's in like a early 1900s. Or 20th century, I guess.
Yeah, because
car.
Yeah, because also the X-ray machine.
Yeah, that I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, really that's good model of the tumor, and the yeah. doctor was like, "What? Like, oh, it's a tumor.
Yeah,
can't do anything."
So,
but I guess that's one of the things you get when you like kind of mesh all these genres together. Mm-hmm. You can kind of make it on your own and kind of like pick and choose what you want and. Kind of break those boundaries a little bit.
Right.
Yeah, because I can, like, I don't know the character's name, but the guy with the monocle, I was like, okay, so it's like a steampunk era, and then it's like, oh, an X-ray machine. I'm like, wait. I'm confused.
You mean the like, what I think is an ex-regent, the guy in the wheelchair?
In the wheelchair. Yeah. The birds.
Yeah, his name is Waldo.
Waldo, thank you.
We found him. Found
yay!
Waldo.
We
boom.
Found him. But yeah, I was like, okay, so he has a monocle. Because apparently there's no one with glasses that I've seen yet. And then we have an X-ray machine. So I was like, I'm confused.
Yeah, no cell phones, but X-rays we can do.
Yeah. But I mean, like, X-rays have a bit of a
Yeah, they've been around for a lot longer.
We just
so.
Since we didn't see the machine or what they used to do them with, we're like, that's where I guess the little confusion comes in. But yeah, you can kind of mix right. and match.
Well, yeah, I mean, it seems like it's sort of an alternate reality. I mean, the whole Badlands thing. I mean, they are kind of cagey with how much information they talk about it. But it's interesting because people don't know a world like outside of their particular farm. So much so that like they're keeping it either – some people are keeping it a secret. Some people are just born into it. I mean, the medallion is a big deal because it has a symbol that – isn't one of the known barren lands. And so that's – so maybe there was like some type of apocalypse or something.
I mean, I know that it represents Azra, right? But like so far we haven't seen that. And really all we're going off of is what MK says. But he comes from there, so it's got to be this place that exists. But at the same time, Sonny doesn't know this place, or at least we don't know that he knows this place. So it's kind of like hope and dreaming, and that's, I assume, where he's going to want Vale to go, because that's the only place that's not really ruled by all these barons and where you have all this feudal society. So I guess it's just like, in a way, I kind of see it as like their paradise or their heaven, maybe.
Right. But obtainable. I mean, like, obviously, because
on this realm, in this realm.
A place we can actually visit and still be alive, which is a plus.
And enjoy. And enjoy while we're still, you know, up and running.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder where MK's mom is. I mean, because she, I think, has all the answers. If she had the medallion, she would obviously have to have gone to Azra and, you know, would maybe know a thing or two.
Well, according to fans that I was reading, they think that Ryder's mother knows or is the mother because of the way she reacted in the first episode.
Interesting. That would be a twist.
That would be interesting.
That's a killer theory. I like that a lot. Because
even when they were at, I guess it was breakfast or dinner, I don't really know what they were eating, but when Ryder first presents the medallion to Quinn. I'm thinking of Guardians of the Galaxy Quill.
Right.
And he's like, "Do you know what this is?" And like the white, like Lydia looked like she's like, "I'm just gonna sip my coffee and just and ignore what's happening." So I don't know. There's a lot of speculation about it.
So then, but MK has seen Lydia. So then that would mean that maybe who MK thinks is his mom. You know, because he said we got separated, so he knows what his mom like looks like. So maybe it's not his real mom.
So yeah, so maybe Lydia knows maybe where the mom
is. Lydia, maybe she knows the mom. Mm-hmm. At least maybe they're sisters.
Well, yeah, or something. Oh dear.
That's crazy. I mean, I really want to know why or how Sonny found the medallion. We saw him kind of grab it out of like someone's dead hand, but I want to find out more about that and sort of why he's kept it. Why he pretends not to know anything about this place. I mean, this is the second time he lied about it. I mean, to his, like, boss, like, directly. I mean, first time it was to Ryder, but to keep that in, like, as a secret is pretty big news just because, you know, he is supposed to be completely loyal to the entire family for everything.
But even in that loyalty, he shows some sort of reserve, I guess, when Quinn asks him to clip those two people, you know, the doctor and his wife and Hannah, and he's like, no, you know? So I think that loyalty, you know, you start seeing little cracks in his armor because he's getting really beat up on with all these different things that are happening, even just the little things of MK and the medallion and maybe, like, you know, and obviously this last thing that we saw.
I mean, that was, oh, man, such a crazy scene to watch. I mean, so many things were happening. We learned that Baron's gonna die. Quinn's literally has months to live. Then we find out that that doctor family is also the caretaker of Vale, Sonny's girlfriend, slash maybe fiance, baby's mama, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, they also delivered Ryder. They have been loyal to the family for so long. And
so much information in that one scene.
I know. Yeah. Crazy.
And how he's willing to just dispose of them.
Exactly. I mean, a pretty big secret that
that could destroy him.
Yeah. I mean, and having that kind of power, like, you have to protect it with everything.
And even though they're loyal, and I guess they wouldn't necessarily, like, I'm thinking, like, but they wouldn't say anything, right?
Yeah, but what if the widow came and that, tried to, get information.
Exactly.
Like, oh, exactly.
You can't leave any loose ends.
You can't.
Oh, but it makes me so sad.
I know.
I mean, I'm surprised that the interaction between Sonny and Quinn wasn't more negative after he just completely was like, no, dude, I'm not killing them.
But that just goes to show how much Quinn relies on Sonny. And I think just how their relationship just goes really far back and how solid it is and how much he relies on him, because he doesn't give second chances, as he said. But yet Sonny is like the exception.
Right.
Maybe he wouldn't even give a second chance to Ryder. We don't even know that. But to Sonny, that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, it seems very much like Sonny is sort of the heir, I guess, or would be picked to succeed him, to succeed Quinn, especially now because he knows that his time is super limited. So, I'm curious to see how that plays out, given that Sonny is trying to make like a break for it, or, you know, what is happening. So we'll have some pretty good predictions later on, I think.
But on that air thing as well, it's that moment where they're all around the table, and I think Quinn says to Ryder, he's like, you know, good work, son, about, you know, the thing that ended up being bait, right? But leading them to that warehouse. I always feel like there's a play back and forth between, is it going to be Ryder, is it going to be Sonny? And I always just kind of see the balance kind of shift a little bit. like, you know, back and forth.
We have a little bit of predictions here in the chat.
Ooh,
we have ZZ Rock Zora. Maybe it is set in the future. So one day the world fell into ruin and they had to start over. So that is the reason pretty why good things are so weird.
Oh, okay.
And then Renji 90998 says, I'm shipping MK and Matilda. Do you guys agree?
Ooh. Wait, they want MK and mm-hmm. Tilda? Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's definitely happening.
Oh, no, I think that's shipped. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's
packaged.
That is packaged.
Ready to go. That's under the tree already.
And I loved her cover.
Under the tree already.
I totally loved her cover of, like, kissing him. I just feel like no mom's going to suspect that. She's just going to be like, hey, like, go to your room or whatever.
Well, yeah, I mean, they've had a chemistry. I mean, it wasn't, like, because they're still kids, it wasn't as played out as some romances. But there was definitely, like, you know, she was playing on the field when she met him and kind of caught him, and he's kind of like the, like, unannounced, like, traveler that kind of falls in her lap. So that's – it's – they had a very intense meet-cute when she was murdering squirrels.
And I love how Tilda's willing kind of to defy her mother as well to kind of protect MK.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's why I like her character a lot, because she's obviously very good at what she does. I mean, Minerva / the Widow doesn't even think twice about bargaining with her and throwing her into the fire to, you know, close this deal. And she does it in, like, a second with a sweet splits move, like, two snapping necks.
I just like the fact that MK saw it and he was like, okay,
he's like, okay,
gotcha. Don't mess with
Do not cross Tilda.
Okay, I'm just going to put it on a sticky note on the wall.
Exactly.
Don't do that.
And I'm going to try and leave as soon as
Tilda's
I can.
Hair ever.
Gotta get out of here.
Gotta get my butt out of here.
But she's also really smart. I mean, she showed, you know, time and time again that she was super, like, hyper aware of what's going on around her, not just outsmarting MK and kind of double, like, flanking him, but everywhere. I mean, you know, outsmarting even her mom, like, when she was getting grilled about, like you said, having the opportunity to go to one of her sisters, or, you know, even with the whole interaction of MK, like, getting – drawing the blood. She was able to see, like, so many moves ahead of that whole thing going down.
Yeah, and I love that. I thought that was an awesome way to kind of make the good side, I guess, proliferate and kind of succeed because she protected him.
Yeah, I mean, there's been so many shades of gray with this whole, like, like, everybody. I'm like, who is good? Like, is there any good? Is it just everybody's degrees of bad? But Tilda, I think, is sort of like the shining light. I mean, she still kills people, but who doesn't?
But in this world, I think that's, like, that's okay. That's accepted.
It's like a currency. It's the norm, I feel like. Like, that's – it's to kill to survive.
I mean, it's kill or be killed for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But she definitely seems like the highest morality of all the characters that we've seen.
Yeah, because she's willing to, you know, put herself – well, I guess put herself on the line. I don't know how much on the line she would be because she's still, like, Minerva, the widow's daughter. So I don't know how bad that punishment would be. But put herself on the line for this kid she doesn't know. But maybe a kid that represents, like, freedom or that or has a path or has a journey that needs to be done.
Right. I mean, she at least, like, experiences everything for herself. Like, she finds her own answer. She, you know, listens to people, but it's also like, I'm going to see for myself. Like, I'm going to, like, actually, like, you know, she doesn't just take people's word for it.
No. She totally experiences it herself, which is amazing to see. And in such a young character, too.
Yes.
It just, she feels like kind of almost like a little bit wise and older beyond her years, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, very precocious, for sure.
Very, totally.
Nice. Yeah, no, I think we're all Tilda fans, which is good.
Go Tilda!
Team Tilda over
Team
here.
Team Tilda.
Well, yeah, I mean, it must have not been the first time that she was used as a weapon like that, because she didn't even think twice. Like, she was very much so used as a pawn by her mom, and, you know, there was no love lost by that.
But either the widow has a lot of confidence in her daughters, which makes total sense because they're completely, like, outrageously amazing, or Or, you know, it's just funny that she would be even willing to say that thought about, like, well, yeah, you can take her, I guess. Or, yeah. like, accepting that bargain. But she must have a lot of confidence because, you know.
Yeah, no problem at all.
I also think that even if, let's say, she did perchance lose, I feel like if they did take her, it would be hell to pay for them to get her back, one. Two, do you think, I don't know why this crossed my mind, but do you think because her love for MK might be stronger than her, seeing her mom, like, go into these bad ways of trying to take over all of the Badlands, and maybe she'll have to face her mom in the future?
I think MK Ooh. Represents something, like, positive, something good left in the world, even if it's just, like, this, you know, just a small thing that maybe she sees. Yeah,
there's definitely an innocence to MK where that she hasn't seen before, and I think that's what's leading her to kind of see what else is beneath him and sort of, like, what his story is because she knew, it seems that she's only known the world inside the walls of her mom's house and sort of the other, the rest of the Badlands, I guess.
We have some stuff that people are saying. Ooh, nice. Chat. Yeah. Apparently, Tilda is not the widow's blood daughter. Mm. According to the bios, Tilda was rescued from an abuser.
Oh, wow.
You know, maybe that makes a lot more sense.
That does make a lot more sense.
You know, the widow looks very young.
Yeah, I don't think she's had children yet. Right. I think she just calls.
Maybe it's daughters just to her ladies of the house.
Because she wants, because they call her mother. So that might just be a thing that they do. But yeah, no, it looks like.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But I mean, the loyalty almost of like a mother-daughter relationship is there.
Well, I mean, I'm assuming that the widow raised her. That's probably where that love is coming from and loyalty. But yeah, it looks like. According to the AMC bios, Tilda was rescued by the widow, so she is not her blood daughter.
Got it. Well, I mean, that makes a lot more sense in terms of her motivations, why she's so nice in an otherwise, like, very evil world. I mean, she chose to slice her own hand open and kind of fake the whole interaction with MK just to prove, you know, the widow – to get the widow off her back for a little bit, which worked – so far, I mean, I'm not holding my breath because I feel like the widow definitely has seen some things in her day.
I'm surprised that the widow didn't go in there herself and do it. Just because I feel like that's a really important thing that this kind of – the kind of aura surrounding this kid is too important, you know? I would have probably wanted to do it
Maybe
myself.
Maybe because the fact that he trusts Tilda more. That she thought it would be better for her to do
easier.
It. Yeah, it would be easier for her to do it than having the widow.
Yeah, I mean, she definitely seems like the go-to, like, hit woman, I guess. Yeah.
You know, there is a moment, though, after she ends up, you know, just, like, swiping that guy's neck and absolutely murdering him. she does have, like, a moment that I think it's kind of long in the scene between her and MK. And I think she's almost having, like, a moment where she's thinking, like, oh, God, this is, like, what I am, you know? And just all that brutality and violence that goes into it. I think seeing MK's face a little bit horrified with what's going on kind of puts it into perspective for her, too. And I think that's also why they have such an interesting bond, because I think she realizes, like, what it is.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's, again, his innocence, and sort of seeing that gives kind of a reality check to Tilda, where she's like, oh, this isn't normal. Like, people should be reacting like that to necks being snapped instead of just great job, like, pat in the back. Tilda. Awesome.
High five, Tilda. High five.
Yeah, just
good job.
Well done. That was a great, neck
one.
Snap.
Ice cream. Perfect. Yeah. Ice cream. Want to go get ice cream?
That was a great neck snap.
You should take a bath.
You should go take a bath.
Yeah,
it's soothing and amazing.
Yeah, no,
also, ice cream.
Yeah. Crazy. Okay. So I think we've talked about Tilda a good amount. Waldo, I do want to get into because, you know, he is a new character. And there's a lot of Easter eggs, I think. I mean, you definitely pointed one out, Maria, when we were watching. The tattoos on his neck sort of are the same as the marks that Sonny has on his back.
I would have never noticed that. Maria's got a good eye, guys.
Good eye. No, that
keep
was
up with that.
Like awesome because awesome. Not only does it show that he's very well connected into the whole Clipper thing, but that he's had so many that it's literally like coming out of his collar.
I kind of hope, again, another weird prediction of mine, two things. One, I hope that he's a mentor for Sunny, or was a mentor, because I'm assuming Sunny had to be a cult at one point to
right.
have a
Clipper. I'm going to piggyback on that. I think
yeah.
that's awesome.
And two, I want to see maybe at one point, because since he is in a wheelchair, he's going to probably need help to do things. So maybe there's a point where he has to like take a bath or something or shower, and you get to see all of his tattoos since it's all the way up.
Yeah, he's
neck.
Probably covered. I feel like that the neck awesome. Is probably like one of the last places you would
yeah.
get tattooed.
Yeah, because Sunny has like 420 or more yeah. now, mm-hmm. But they're all on his back and they don't really like, you know, climb up there, but his are, yeah, they're definitely coming out
yeah.
here.
So. And yeah. you can see it a little bit in the front too, so I'm like, his whole body
yeah,
has
it must
to be
just like, checked.
Oh, that's going to be so cool. That's if they
badass.
Do that.
I think he's a former regent. That's, yeah. yeah. And possibly Quinn's former regent, because he is wearing red.
He is wearing red.
So. He is. Yeah. He's definitely still wearing the Trabs
what
colors.
What do you think his role is now, though?
Think he's retired. It seems like he's in a wheelchair, so maybe, you know, because of his long... standing career, if you can call it that. Maybe the last interaction went a little bit south, and he had to take a retirement role with the birds.
So he's hanging out with the birds.
Just chilling with his parakeet.
I mean, it would be cool if that's just a cover that he's using.
Ooh, that
and
would
maybe
be cool.
he's
Ooh.
Still like super
Can you imagine
involved.
Seeing him as,
yeah.
like, seeing
I mean, yeah,
him standing up and just like going to
right.
well,
I mean,
yeah,
he's, definitely, he's definitely older, so his legs might work and he's just sort of, you know, been around the block obviously enough to have his whole body like covered in these death checks.
But I think it's more of like nobody knows, but then I'm going to whip it out. Like,
I know,
like
he's
I'm going to whip out
mystery.
That I'm like,
it's
you know,
intense.
Exactly. He's totally
no,
shrouded
no,
mystery.
No whipping it out, though.
No, yeah. not,
yes,
none
you.
Of that.
Thank you, Alexis. I second the
I'm
no whipping
you
it
know,
out.
No, as
just,
I'm saying it, I'm like, huh.
I mean, they do use swords in this show. Sorry. Okay, I'm done.
But no,
yeah.
okay, speaking of getting out,
oh, here
let's... Let's talk about them leaving. I mean, Sunny brings up to Waldo, like, have you ever thought about leaving, mm-hmm. you know, and seeing what else is out there? And Waldo pretty much shuts that down, which shows a lot. I mean, obviously, Sunny trusts him enough to bare his soul sort of about what he's thinking about, which is leaving the whole community, which is punishable by death. You know, that's intense in itself, showing their relationship. But how much and how quickly Waldo is to shut that down.
Yeah, he has first of all, he might have never had an interest in that. And I think he understands kind of where this idea is coming from, kind of like the dreamer perspective, knowing that there maybe isn't anything out there. Or maybe he just never experienced anything better than what is in the Badlands. And, I mean, it's better, I guess, for him to be alive than to really put your life on the line for something that you have no certainty exists.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, there's definitely some things should not be overturned, like some Pandora's boxes shouldn't be opened. And I think that's what he's kind of getting at. Like, it's such a dangerous thought. Like, he's showing the mentor role, and hopefully that he is that character for Sunny, because he definitely protects him in that way.
Well, it looks like Rock Zora apparently said Waldo was Sunny's mentor, and Waldo was
confirmed.
A regent, so
nice.
That's what he said. Everyone feels like he is going to be a huge part of the series as a possible mentor for Sunny. There is a prediction up here that I wanted to read before we move
Ooh,
on.
Excellent,
Gerard. Ray Ford said, I predict MK will be more dangerous than Sunny after Sunny trains him. That kind of power plus Sunny's training will make him possible threats to all Barons.
Oh, pfft.
Yes,
yep.
for sure. I agree.
Completely agree.
That I think we can confirm.
Yeah. Scott
sure.
G has a question for everyone. Do you think the birds are messenger birds?
Ooh.
And that's what they were using them for, and that's why that
maybe.
Bird got injured, because maybe someone tried to cut it or something.
Oh,
or got hurt.
Birds.
Or
well,
got
yeah,
captured.
I mean, they're not sending texts or emails, so
yeah.
I can only assume it's by way of bird.
I think that's a great, like, prediction. I think I didn't think of that, but totally. I think that's absolutely possible.
Yeah,
that
no, I mean,
so cool.
They do it in Game of Thrones, so.
Yeah, they do. And that's a classic, you know, messenger role for a pigeon.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's totally possible.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I was like, that's a really great
yeah,
question,
no,
Scott.
Great,
I'm so
really
glad
good
that you
observation.
Asked.
But
Thank
then,
you, Scott.
But then who's he talking to?
That's what I'm saying. Who are we? Is that, like, how we're communicating for all the product that we're making? Like, is that how we get that all out there? Is
right.
by sending messenger birds, like, across The Babbitt?
Well, no, yeah, I would love if there was, like, a deeper connection with Waldo and maybe Azra. And, like, maybe that's where the birds are going because it's outside of, like, their normal trade routes with or the maybe, other barons.
Or maybe even just a plan outside of just the Widow to take Quinn down. So, like, maybe more people getting involved. Because he just – he doesn't seem like somebody that people love. That people want to –
No, yeah. I can – They fear, but – I completely agree with you, right. Maria. I feel like there's something – that Quinn is not, like, completely telling us, and same thing with, like, his whole family. And I think that the other barons are like, we need to get rid of him.
There's a reason the Widow is going after mm-hmm. him so ferociously.
I thought maybe she was a Scorn lover, person, interest, something like that, and that's why she wants to just get rid of him so badly, but I have no idea. That's just
me. Well, yeah, I mean, my assumption was, you know, I mean, her character is obviously the Widow. Maybe her husband was killed by the Baron, by Quinn.
But then Quinn also says, I think in the previous episode, that she murdered her husband.
Yeah.
Oh.
So that was
okay.
that was that
Never
too.
Mind, then.
So I was like, maybe.
I retract.
So I was thinking maybe since Quinn maybe was the brother of the Baron and that she killed, and then maybe she's also just trying to kill, like, I don't know, him off too. I have no idea. There's so many questions in only episode 2.
I know. So. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's great. The world that they've created is so vibrant. It's so, like, encompassing that there are these connections. And in only 2 episodes, like, you know, you talk about other sort of ensemble, like, feudal shows, again, Game of Thrones to bring up, but that took forever to introduce things, and, you know, it was such a slow start. That's why I really love this show, where it just gets into the action. We have these insanely elaborate fight scenes, but there's also so much story there behind it that it really gets into, like, the political aspects as well.
If I'm not mistaken, actually, the show didn't have, like, a pilot and then ordered a season. It went straight to series. So they had a lot going on this, and I think the story helped it in that way, because you don't really have to have, like, all these different steps to get there. You know that you're going to have, like, you're going to be able to bank on this, like, amazing, vibrant story. So I think that has definitely worked in their favor.
That yeah, makes any sense. A lot.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I'm a big fan of this show.
I think it's going to be great. I'm so excited to see what happens, especially since I know a lot of people are talking about we want to see the past of everybody, like the Widow and Quinn, and I want to see full flesh Sonny to see what happened before
yes.
he got all the tattoo
yes.
and started killing people. Like, it's very interesting.
And the fact that he picked up that pendant when he, you know, sorry,
yeah.
the thing when he was a boy. Like,
yeah, the compass.
Yeah, and
yeah.
he's, sorry, the compass.
Yeah.
What did I say?
The
he's compass.
The pendant. You were technically correct. It has the
well,
same
there's a pendant. There's a pendant
in
the compass.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of things going on.
It, but
yeah.
yeah, it's just, and maybe just this, keeping it for so long, it's like, why keep it, you know? So I think we're going to get more of that in the coming episodes.
Yes. No, I can't wait. I mean, a lot of stuff going on. You know, Sonny, speaking of Sonny, him telling Vale everything. I mean, that really shows how much of a committed relationship they do have, where he does trust her. He's very trusting with a lot of people. I mean, again, they must be people that are very close to him. But it seems like he takes a lot of liberties. He is sort of the golden knight, I guess, of that whole society. But, you know, he is very upfront with Quinn. He tells Waldo sort of what's on his mind, and he tells Vale without, you know, being afraid that that anything's going to happen, or that he's being wiretapped, I guess, or no one's ears to the door.
Yeah, I knew what you meant. I was like, oh, wiretap, JB.
Some technology
yeah.
here, some modern stuff.
Exactly. It's probably just a cup with a string, maybe.
For you kids out there, Google that if you don't know what we're talking about.
It works. That's the real sorcery.
I've never tried that, but I've
heard.
It's
kind of crazy. When you do it as a kid, you're like, what? Yeah.
But yeah, I'm interested to see sort of what happens behind the scenes in Sonny's figuring out his family, sort of leaving, and how they're going to bounce out of this whole society. I mean, he definitely needs to do that because having a family is not allowed.
Right, but if he leaves, then Quinn will come after him, or at least that's what they've been pitching during this episode.
He's in such a rock and hard place.
Yeah, because it's like, I mean, of course you would, at this point I think he wants the baby to survive. It's not like you have to get
right.
rid of it anymore. I think there's like this changed for him, especially after having seen Quinn.
Exactly, I think,
you know?
Yeah, seeing Quinn murder the innocent people I think really struck a chord with Sonny. I mean, he has never really questioned him. I mean, again, we haven't seen everything in their past, but it seemed like that was the first time, you know, Quinn had said, I don't give people second chances. So that kind of confirmed that it was the first interaction of that magnitude that has happened. So I'm really interested to see how that rift between Sonny and Quinn, Sonny and the whole being in the Badlands, this world really opens up, especially now knowing that trinket, the compass, the symbol of Azra is a real thing. And it's not just like a fabricated once off toy that he found.
It must be something extraordinary. Otherwise, the Widow wouldn't be so like, you know, drilling in this idea of like, I need this boy that has the pendant that looks like this. It's got to mean something, you know, extraordinary. Right. And it has to be real at this point. I feel like there's no doubt that it's well.
Exactly. I'm surprised that there are so many things that point to Azra. You know, the Widow had the book. She had the tarot card. You know, so much memorabilia and souvenirs from Azra, it's like, how does no one know about it? I mean, again,
I literally think all the Barons know about it.
Right.
I don't think anyone
suppressed,
else knows.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seems like a very like communistic society where there's like dictators and stuff.
Yes.
So.
There has to be some sort of higher power.
It's almost like an oligarchy, you know?
Yeah.
In a way. But yeah, I think it's a good way to keep control for the Barons to
Absolutely.
Like, you know, keep repressing all these people. It's the easiest way to control them. But then you're going to have the people come up and rise against them. So it's not going to last, you know, it's all going to start, you know, disintegrating.
Yeah. Things are starting to spiral out and I could not be more excited to watch them. Speaking of spiraling out, MKA tries to escape. Unsuccessfully, honestly.
Oh,
classic
dear.
MK.
Classic MK.
But he gets to make out with Tilda. So there's a plus.
There's always a win.
There's always a win.
Very serendipitous for him.
I don't know if this was his first kiss or whatever, but hey.
I mean, it seemed like she kissed him, by the
yes.
way.
Yes.
I mean, he was all about it, obviously. So.
Yeah, there was no objections there at all.
All right, if that's what you
want, give me your face.
It's just that moment where he says, like, where Sonny asks him, like, how did you get here? And he's like, it doesn't matter, because poor guy has literally been hot potatoed just from one side to the other. And it's just like, I don't even know how I got here. I don't even know where I'm going at this point. So I just felt a lot for him, because he has such a specific goal, and it's going to be hard to get there. And I think he's finally, like, realizing that it's not just about running away. It's not just about running through the woods. It's like, this cannot be done alone, which I think is what Sonny ends up pitching to
him. I mean, I definitely don't give him enough credit because he is – I mean, whenever they show him, he's very scared. I think that's part of why. At the same time, you know, he is trying to find his mom. Like, he's a young kid. He's on the run, like, running from these people that murder each other and beat each other up. And it might not be a world he's used to at all. Like, for all we know, Azra is probably, like, a nice, like, hippie town where they're all just chilling.
That would be hysterical if it was a hippie town. I would have been like, really?
Oh.
So that's where all the poppy oil powder, whatever,
exactly.
is all going to.
That's where they grow the opium.
Knew it.
Chilling by the beach.
Oh, Lord of mercy.
Speaking of opium, I did want to touch on one thing that I did notice, because we were talking about how this whole, like, they were talking about the bait and how they got Ryder. An interesting moment where Minerva's one of her daughters, the blonde one, sees the, I guess it was a prostitute with Ryder.
Yeah, they're called dolls, but it's essentially like a prostitute.
You know, looks up at her, and I guess she was doing some kind of signal with the clothesline, saying that she had pulled it off. So that was kind of a cool moment where, you know, they are conveying something, but they didn't explain it in a sort of like a spoon-feeding way, which I like a lot about this series, because we have only so few episodes. It really rewards, like, rewatching and paying attention to the close details.
Yeah, I was unsure about the bait at first. I'm like, wait, what is the bait? Because I realized, I was like, what? And then it's the trap, right, that they end up getting into, which surprised me a little bit about Sonny, just because he seems so meticulous and so cautious and so calculated that then he's like, well, we'll go scout it out. And I'm like, you wouldn't have, like, backup, you know, it's just you and Ryder.
No, I agree with you. I think he probably should have done, like, a scouting trip. I mean, the whole trip was a scout, I guess, essentially, and it was a trap, so they're probably hiding.
But
still,
scout,
I mean, you should do a little bit of recon, right?
Yes, bring
a little
people
bit of recon
with you, because you never never know what kind of trouble you'll get into. But obviously, we wouldn't have that amazing scene that I was like, okay, I'm sorry, Ryder is dead. Like, he was up there for a really long time.
Well, yeah, he gets choked out and passed out.
That was scary.
That was ridiculous. I was just like, yeah, he's dead.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Sonny would be smart enough to kind of do a little bit of
perimeter check or something.
At the same time, he's the type of badass that can handle a trap like that. He killed everybody. Like, I mean, he got into a bit of a pickle at the end, being choked by the pipe after being hit in the face with it. But he killed like 30 people.
Totally.
Without much problem.
Yes, he did. By himself.
By himself. Ryder was choking the rafters. And he was just like two swords dicing around people. Speaking of which, honorable mentions of awesomeness. The move where Sonny like slices three people's necks at the same time. Awesome. When he like deflects the hatchet back like into the dude's chest. Killer. Classic
and so it's
move.
Just like it was so like serious and just like just so simple for him, you know?
Right.
It's just like he does this all the time. It's just like swipe and it went right
back. It was just business as usual. Like he was just like, phew.
It's almost like, what else
no
you got?
No problem. He was literally outnumbered like 50-1 and had it. Like, walk in the park.
And that's, I think you see, like, the brilliance and just the talent of Danny Wu, like, doing this amazing job with the choreography and with the swords. And it's just a pleasure to watch. And just the staging and with the fan, you know, we all love that fan thing.
Yes.
Right in front of the fan. It was just like,
it was beautiful.
The sets are working. The staging's working. It's...
No, exactly.
Good
I mean,
job.
We talked a lot about the story being so good, which it is, but, you know, there's so much that goes into those fight scenes that, you know, a lot of shows just are like, okay, action scene, let's Michael Bay this with an explosion and, like,
Bay
a truck
this.
That flips over.
Explosion.
You know, they really take the time to, like, make it look so cool. And that's, you know, I think we were missing that without having, you know, very many, like, martial art shows. Having that art in those scenes really shines through. I mean,
well, someone on the not on the chat, but on the comments last week brought up that there are a few shows that do have martial art fight scenes.
No,
but they're
definitely,
not. But they're not the way that
they're not as intricate. Or I haven't seen ones in
like,
a while.
Yeah, the one that I would depict would probably be Daredevil. Would be pretty close.
Daredevil, it's pretty good.
The choreography is pretty
good.
There, but like Arrow and like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it's there, but it's not as intricate as this show.
Well, it's just this is one of the like fundamentals of this show,
exactly.
Which I think in for those other shows, it's not for this
it's
one.
It's a fight
scene.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and it's. Everything is sort of leading up to these scenes in a meaningful way, and it's not just like, okay, we need to kill time. Let's, like, have action scenes and, like, a car chase. You know, it's really done very well. They take, you know, the utmost care. I mean, even the fight on the rafters where they're kind of, like,
so
balancing
cool.
out. So cool. I mean, obviously the stunt choreography was top-notch, but even the cinematography of the camera moves, like, you know, kind of strafing left and right with him kind of made you feel like you were up there and, like, dodging attacks and, like, having to balance. It's crazy.
It's
such an awesome scene.
It's really good. Absolutely, I agree. Choreography on point.
Yes, props to everybody on the Into the Badlands crew, because you're killing it right now. Literally and in the show.
Yes.
Love that.
But
Scott, that was very G, cool. Scott G brought up that there's so many tattoos after that fight. I was like, yes.
Exactly.
I couldn't even count how many people that were there. I was
where
like,
is Sonny gonna put him?
It's going to be a while in the chair.
No,
bro.
At this point, he has to have tattoos in the front because there's no way he can fit any more in the back. They make them really tiny.
Yeah, I'm surprised that Sonny is so good at his job, but only had, I mean, I guess it was a lot more than it looked just on his back. 420. But I mean, if he does that and just has like 50 kill days, you know, I'm surprised that he has enough skin to have all these tattoos.
But I think times are changing within this world, so I think we're gonna see a lot more kills versus like maybe before, let's say, like this show started, the world may have been kind of in like a not calm, but like kind of peaceful, kind of like the status was just continuing.
Right.
You know, there wasn't any changes. Now there's like these big changes happening. So yeah, he's going to need some more ink.
Right. Well, yeah, no, that's a good point. I mean, because there are, I think you mentioned seven, I guess, different factions that, you know, there may have been more of a, like a homeostasis happening before. And now it's a much more tumultuous where we're seeing some turbulent times. People are being overthrown. Widow is coming for blood. It's going to be awesome to see. I mean, now that MK and Sunny went back to the farm, I'm really curious to see how that training goes. Sunny took his first colt, which is kind of a big deal, as MK is going to start training him so he can send his wife, or I guess they're not married legally, his Vale. Companion, his Vale. Lady. His baby's mama, or to be at least.
To be baby mama.
out with him. So, you know, that's going to be really cool. I love training montages. So,
and that's like, that's obviously, I feel like, Sunny's main interest with the kid is getting her safely right out of there. But also kind of helping him along the way. And I think it's so interesting that he hasn't taken a colt before, which says so much about Sunny. But then as Quinn, I would be – because this boy kind of came to me in a weird situation where it's like, what does the widow want with him? And all of a sudden Sunny wants him as a colt. I'd be like red flags everywhere. Right. But I guess because Quinn trusts Sunny so much, they're not really – not happening yet. But I think they're going to pop up for sure.
Exactly. I mean, I wasn't as surprised by Sunny not doing or having a cult before, just because he would have to show that kind of loyalty to Quinn. And if you're, you know, sharing that loyalty with another apprentice, you know, that would be called into question. But it's interesting sort of that these questions are coming up now, how Quinn is going to react to them, knowing the stakes of everything. I mean, he knows that he's about to die, or, you know, in the coming months. And, you know, there's a lot of changes going on. He may have picked Sunny to succeed him. You know, how's that going to go when all of his behavior is changing? Not only with having an apprentice, but also with Vale seeing the murders, like becoming a dad. Like, there's so much going on. I can't wait.
There is. It's like overload, but in a great way. Because it's literally, it's nonstop. And I think if you're going to make entertaining television, it's the way to go.
Yes, definitely. Plus, Sunny's the only one that's actually seen what MK could do.
Yeah, you're right. Nobody else has seen that. They, like, even the widow has just, like, heard of it, but she's not actually – she's not aware of the extent.
That's what's really interesting is because, you know, will Sunny have to legitimize why he chose MK as his colt? Because he kind of seems like a little scared kid, you know, other than his, like – insane power to like turn into a superhuman and kill people with like shards of glass.
So in the previous episode, I know that when Sunny fights with the widow's men, I guess, right in the rain scene, which was awesome, she says that you can't kill a baron. You can't do that. So I'm wondering, like, if he's taking this kid under his wing, is she going to come after him specifically? And then does that change at all the perspective of, like, not killing barons? Is that going to alter anything?
Intense. I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see on that one.
I don't think I can even answer that question. I was like, whoa, my gosh.
That's a good question, though.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah, I mean, yeah, good food for thought, though. We do after – I mean, I could talk about this show all day and probably will after this.
Yeah.
But we do have to wrap up. Any predictions that you guys see sort of coming up for episode 3?
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So I think last week I said I think there's going to be a one-on-one between the widow and Sunny. And then I was like, is there – I totally think so now, especially after taking MK under the wing. So I'm hoping, and I will be very excited to see that. So that's what I'm predicting. But I just think at this point, Quinn is – it's like no shame, which is pretty much his MO. But I think there's going to be less of shame now. It's just going to be like everything goes.
Right.
And we're going to see him kind of unravel immensely.
Ooh, good point. Well, I definitely see unraveling kind of as a major theme in the show. I think Ryder is going to get revived and be super PO'd about the whole situation.
Hopefully we find out what happened with his foot, because that was
interesting. Yeah.
Can we not talk about the foot? Okay. That was so gross.
I mean, like,
that was so gross.
It just gives me more questions. A, how did that happen? But B, like, why would you go through the trouble of wearing, like, a metal, like, claw on your foot? Like, you know,
the just clown.
It's very badly. He got very badly burned. It looks like, but he's just missing a couple toes. Like his foot's still there for the most part. Like,
no,
would
I think
you really
he only
that whole
has a couple
thing?
Toes, JP.
Well, he's like, he's got like the big toe.
Yeah, he's got the big toe the and toe. The little. The
but
one
I mean,
extra.
Do you really need toes to like walk?
I feel like he would limp if not. But doesn't he have like a slight limp? I thought that
I have to rewatch it.
I mean, I've
no
always
idea.
Had all my toes, so I guess I can't say.
Like apparently, if you lose your pinky toe, you're off balance.
Really?
Yeah.
Those pinkies are so important.
That's what I've learned. That's what I've learned. I thought maybe he had diabetes and he lost his toes, but it wouldn't make sense for the whole foot to look like that. So I don't know.
Right. Oh, there's got to be something else. Pink and also, toes. He kind of likes it when people massage it. So there's sorry. I'm just saying, I think there's more to Ryder that we haven't seen yet. And maybe like a bit of a twisted man here. So
very
definitely.
Much so.
I mean, I feel like I know Ryder and it's no good.
No, he seems like a very twisted, tormented soul. And I want to know what's happening.
No. Well, yeah, I can't wait to see him be. I mean, he seems like the biggest problem, biggest like mm-hmm. thorn in everybody's mm-hmm. plans. Like he's going to be. The guy to screw everything up, so I can't wait to see that.
I think that there's going to be a giant James. I think there's going to be a giant face-off between Sunny and the Widow, but I think the Widow will get to MK and then use MK against Sunny, and there's going to be this whole like I trained you because I love Star Wars. I was like, oh, it's going to be like this crazy thing.
And also the repercussions on Tilda though when she finds out that MK was the one. Yeah, that's going to
you
that's
were
gonna
the
go
chosen
down.
One. I don't know.
she knows kind of because I feel like that's why she didn't cut him because she. Like wanted to protect that.
Well, I'm saying like when the Widow finds out that was the kid that they
the
let go.
Does. Oh yeah,
she's gonna be like, did you just do? And
she's
then,
gonna have a talking with Tilda.
I think
like,
talking
you
is putting it real light.
Nope, I think there's just gonna be some sword fighting. That's what I'm expecting.
Oh, how cool would that be though? Tilda and the Widow. That would be so cool man. To watch.
But I was saying, I think mother
like
and daughter are gonna go at it.
Ever.
Yeah. It's gonna be awesome.
Yeah,
it's gonna be a lot of family fighting over and over.
Well, hopefully that happens because that would be the best.
That would be so cool.
I fully support that. Awesome. Well, yeah, until next week, where can the people find you?
Oh, you can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at MGCVSST.
Nice. Alexis, where can they find you?
You can find me all over social media as atorres890.
Nice. And you guys can find me at JB_Zimmerman on all social media. Please, if you guys love this show, please rate and review it on iTunes, on YouTube. Leave comments. We love to read them. We love to hear your theories and what you guys want to see in the coming episodes. See you guys later.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.